welcome to another edition of Registered Ear Offenders, Friday, January 25th, 2013. I'm your host, Chris Z. With me, as always, is my co-host, Sal Rodriguez. Sal, how the hell are you?
Good afternoon, Chris. It's great to be here. I'm excited to be here.
You're listening to Extreme Talk XM 165 in collaboration with Skid Row Studios. What is this today? Our 26th episode, Sal?
This is our 26th episode. We will start counting them as they do the UFC.
26 episodes long and strong. If you're out there in listener land, go ahead and give us a call, 800-893-9562. That's 800-893-9562.
And today's show is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/Skid Row Studios. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Once again, free audiobook download, www.audibletrial.com/Skid Row Studios.
Wow, we got a big show ahead of us, Sal. I listen to the shows afterward, almost immediately after the show. And one thing I can say, we put on a show. We pack a lot of show into our show. We pack 2 hours of programming into every hour.
Is this the show where we jerk ourselves off?
Yeah, we're patting each other on the back. That's all we're going to do.
We could tell the energy of the show by how many attractive women are in Coffee Bean prior to us arriving here.
Yeah, Sal and I had an unusual encounter. The first time we've ever been, we were just minding our own business and getting our coffee. We always like to load up for the show. And we're just chatting. We're making chit chat. And this attractive girl dressed in kind of like yoga gear.
She had the tight yoga gear. She had a great round butt.
She did. You could tell. I mean, this girl is like the kind of girl that will never let herself get fat. Hopefully. But hopefully. Yeah. So she heard Sal and I bouncing some ideas around, and she actually stopped us at the little counter where you dress your coffee.
The counter where Chris dumps coffee into the trash can. That is not a drain, my friend. That is a trash can.
Beg pardon. I dump ice.
I've seen people jump hot coffee in there.
Yeah, that's annoying. That actually burns a hole in the bag. And yeah, it's like a barista's number one pet peeve.
I bet. I'm annoyed there as a customer. So we're there chit-chatting, and this attractive girl, comes over, and are you guys talking about dating? She says to us.
Should we tell? Yeah, let's tell them what we were talking about. Wait, here's the thing. Sal and I were talking about how sometimes people don't say what's on their mind, even though they could. Like, I get it. Like, we're men. We can't tell women what we're thinking, because most of the time it could get us, you know, sued for sexual harassment.
I don't tell any woman what I'm thinking, including my girlfriend.
So tell me how the conversation led off. Tell the listener with the story that you said about the girl who said...
Well, we were just talking about, you had a recollection of a girl who had a crush on you in high school, and then later on says, oh, I had a crush on you in high school. And you're like, why didn't you say anything in high school?
Yeah. I wasn't anybody, I wasn't popular. I wasn't an athlete in high school. There was no reason why she should have found me, like, out of her league or whatever. And you're just like, why would you not say anything? I was, you know, did you think I was happy jerking off?
You're still not happy jerking off.
So, yeah. And here I am, 20 years later, and I'm still basically in the same situation. So, ladies, if you like me, for God's sake, say something.
Or if you like Chris, tell me and I will set up an introduction. Chris is very approachable.
Yeah, that's right. Give a little note to Sal with two checkboxes in it. But so anyway, that's what we were talking about. And she got a kick out of that. And it was a perfect opportunity to plug the show.
But overall, we were talking a lot also about the culture of dating and romance, and particularly the older man, younger woman dynamic, if you will.
Yeah, and how it is socially acceptable for a young attractive woman, to date an older man, provided with the proviso that man is either wealthy and or successful or powerful, or that's perfectly acceptable.
Yeah, I asked a couple of women who were in their 40s and 50s who had young daughters of approximately 18 to 19 years of age, and I asked them, I said, would you let your 18-year-old daughter date a 40-year-old man? And these women were appalled and grossed out. Oh, no way. I said, what if he were the CEO of Intel?
I remember a couple years ago.
By the way, they said yes.
Of course.
Yes.
Of course, they did a complete flip-flop. Yeah. If it's wrong, it's wrong. I'm a big fan of that logic, that mentality. You know, if the N-word is bad, then it's wrong whenever anybody says it. That's my opinion on the subject. But, you know, it's funny you mentioned that. I was watching Modern Family, fantastic sitcom, won numerous awards. About a week or two ago, they had an episode where the young girl, the 18-year-old or so, she's maybe 18 on the show, and she was dating somebody she worked with who's like the founder of the company she works with. And this guy's like well into his 30s. And, you know, when her parents see that she's dating this older man, it becomes this really big deal. And my question was, why is it a big deal? Because this older man was the owner of the company. He designed all the merchandise this company sold, and she's, you know, just working retail there. Why wouldn't you want your daughter to be with a man? In the storyline, he had a daughter of his own. So he probably would show her a greater degree of respect. He would certainly be able to provide more security for her. He would probably be less likely to be out there being a Jersey Shore type jerk off, you know, banging a different chick every night. So why do we as a society instinctively look down on that? Because that was the story in that particular episode was that, oh my God, Haley's dating this older guy. And I remember thinking like, God, I just have such a contrarian view on most things.
But wait a second, aren't we contradicting ourselves where we're saying society and historically has sold our young daughters off to the highest bidder? We said at the top of the show that we disagree with that, and now we're saying that we do agree with that?
No, I'm not saying that I disagree with that. What I dislike is that we live in a society where we all know that's the case, and yet if we were to talk about it, you and I will be the bad guy, rather than calling a hooker a hooker. You know what I mean? We live in a society that does not demonize females for any reason. Even when the consequences of their actions are the consequences of their actions, they find ways to blame. You know, it's either, you ever get the girl who consistently dates jerk offs and then 2 years later, she's going to tell you what a jerk he was and how she can't believe she dated him for 2 years. That's the society we live in. And I think that helps breed women with a sense of entitlement.
Well, we were also talking about the concept that a man who, let's say, doesn't have a job and still lives at home is called a loser. And yet a woman who doesn't have a job and lives at home is not called a loser. Nobody calls women losers the way they call men losers.
If you're hot, you can work anywhere. You can get away with anything. I worked with this girl, and boy, did I want to stick in her guts, man.
You wanted to stick what in her guts?
My weapon.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant you wanted to hurt her. Well, that's the same for you.
I wanted to dick stab her. it's a girl named Diane. I worked in a Mexican restaurant. She's about 19 years old. Already had a kid. Worked two hostess jobs, like the lowest paying job you can have at a restaurant. Basically spent every day going from one low paying, host job to taking the bus to the next one. This girl, if she was a guy, would have an L tattooed on her forehead. But as a young girl, she's just like, oh man, she's adorable. And I should have been looking at her going like, this girl stands for everything that disgusts me. You know, and no ambition, no. And if you talked to her, that was the best part about it. Like when she told me she had a kid, it wasn't like I made some mistakes. It was like just the greatest. Like she just thought she had a great life. And I almost wish I could be that simple. I mean, she was like a cockroach, you know, just eating shit and loving it. You know.
Well, you know, we operate on a different playing field. Apparently, for example, when I've been at the bus stop, a woman would not look at me. And yet, if a woman's at the bus stop, guys are offering her rides if she's attractive.
Right. Yeah.
Or maybe I'm just not attractive. Maybe that's it.
But yeah, we definitely can agree on that. I remember a couple years ago, I was listening to the Howard Stern show, and Nick Cage is married to, I don't know if he's married, but at least he's involved with a Korean woman who's 20 years his junior.
Yeah.
And he told the story of, and of course, in his mind, he tried to legitimize it and make it sound like it had nothing to do with the fact that he was a wealthy movie star.
No, of course not.
But he told us, no, you know, it isn't what you think. I had to meet her parents and convince them that my intentions were pure. No, you had to go and meet her parents and convince them that you were rich. And once you did that, it became perfectly okay. And we got to move on, Sal, but I'll leave you with this one story. M. Night Shyamalan, heard him on the radio a long time ago, had a great story. You know, in India, some people apparently still observe the caste system.
Yes.
And the woman that he's currently married to, her parents are from a higher caste than his parents. Uh-huh. So he was on a radio show talking about how when he first met them, they did not like him. They did not approve of him. However, when he got paid $12 million to write and direct signs, suddenly he was their son-in-law and he was welcome into their home.
In India, the deal now is you can buy your way out of your existing caste. Is that the deal?
Yeah, apparently so. I guess if you won the lottery or something, it's like, hey, I'm no longer in shit caste over here, but I'm
not an untouchable anymore, motherfuckers. What do we got on our show today, Chris?
Who or what?
Who, what? What's going on, man?
Well, we're starting with Turning Points. It's a segment we haven't done too many times where Sal and I talk about a turning point in our life that shaped our mentality or prompted us to make a life-affirming, life-changing decision. After that, we've got greatest disappointments. I won't even explain it. You guys out there in listener land know what it is. We've done it. It's one of our mainstays here in the program. After that, tell us about our guest, Sal. We got a special guest.
I'm excited to have this guy on the show, not only because I think he and I could probably pass for brothers. Would you say? I was out there chatting with him in the green room, and the green room is code for hallway. And you know what? I was saying, I think if we went on tour, I would try to pass him off as my brother. He tried to pass me off as his brother. But this guy is a very talented magician, very funny comedian. He's a comedian magician, and his name is Wacko.
Yeah, he does corporate work. I mean, this guy's performed for Gwen Stefani, for Christ's sake, Michelle Obama. I mean, he's been around, man. And
he actually appears to have a career.
Yeah, yeah. It's fascinating to me. I feel like I'm watching a science program. Is that what a career looks like up close?
Are those new glasses?
Yeah, that's how I got him on the program. I saw him at the Improv, killing it. After that, of course, we have Chris's Corner, and cap that off with Sal's weekly rant. And if we have time, Sal, got a second ever edition of The Trouble with Porn.
I'm looking forward to talking about, because I have some issues with porn. But remember, when I do Sal's Weekly Rant, Chris, I want you to pay special attention, because you might be able to relate to this.
Okay.
Maybe.
All right, perfect. Well, in that case, let's cut the crap. Let's cut to the chase and start with the Turning Points segment. Here's my turning point, Sal. Many years ago, maybe 20 years ago at least, I worked at a mall, a retail store called Crazy Shirts in the Sawgrass Mills Mall, South Florida.
Oh, we're crazy!
Yeah, all their shirts really were wacky. I worked there, and I'll never forget, man. I don't think I'd ever been particularly keen on having kids. I've never gotten that kind of, like, instinct. You know, I mean, some of them are cute. My nephew seems like a nice kid.
If somebody put a baby in your arms, you'd be like, get this thing off me.
Whenever somebody forces their baby on me, which is always the case, you know, and there's people, you're like, nah, I'm good. You know, I don't know how to hold the baby. No, just hold him. Like, he's your nephew. Hold him. Like, all right, fine. I'm there. I'm doing my job, right? And this lady comes in. She comes in. She's pushing the shopping cart. She's got two kids. And these little monkeys, it was as if they drank three cappuccinos or something. They were just bouncing off the walls, man. And the dad was in there, and he was just this kind of like, just this beaten down little man with that 1,000-yard stare in his eyes. That kind of dead husband soul look to him. So, they're doing their shopping, right? And I guess he looks away for 1 second, and one of the kids is still in the cart. The other kid runs around to the front of the shopping cart and kind of clings to it and hangs on it. So basically, he's leaning back. He's basically doing the dumbest possible thing you can do in terms of physics, and he's using his body weight. And so naturally, the cart literally starts to flip over, like with merchandise. It was probably going to, like, you know, crush him. Now, maybe it wouldn't have killed him, but he might have gotten hurt. He would have fallen back on a hardwood floor. The cart would have toppled on top of him. I jumped like a goddamn superhero. I jumped out and I grabbed the cart and stopped it from collapsing on this kid. And the father was so appreciative. And, you know, he oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And he just so tired, Sal. He just looked so tired. And he looked me in the eyes and he said to me, he goes, makes you want some of your own, doesn't it? And I didn't verbalize it, Sal, but my eyes told him, thank you, sir. Thank you for that warning. Thank you for letting me know that, no, I do not want some of my own.
You know, some kids are just brats. You know, I got to tell you, my niece and nephew up north, Stevie and Crystal, I remember as good little kids. They were not brats. And they're still great kids today, you know, being late teenagers, early 20s. Some kids are brats. I don't recall me being a brat. I was not rambunctious running around when I was a kid like that. But anyway, so that was your turning point. Your turning point was you decided at that moment to use a condom every time you have sex.
Absolutely. And for many years, I did. I'm not saying I haven't made one or two mistakes along the way. But believe it or not, I was more committed to safe sex as a teenager than I've been in the last couple of years.
I, as someone of Mexican descent, have no condom usage ever.
Oh, God. Jesus.
But if, you know, since I don't have sex, it doesn't matter. All right. So next up is my dealio. My turning point. What happened with me was I used to be in this relationship with a white woman. I don't know if that's any relevance whatsoever, but her and I used to go to this Christian church in Burbank called Village Christian Church. And we were regulars there. We were even involved in their recreational activities. And one day they said, we're having a talent show and we need a host of the talent show. And so I said, well, I'll host the talent show. So the talent show is there. And if you've ever been to a church talent show or some sort of like 12-step talent show, it's basically anybody can get on stage. It's like the worst, the least talented people are in the talent show. So I'm the MC of the talent show. And it was awesome. It was a hot night. I was making them laugh. I sang songs. I was like doing it all. At the end of the night, I had people coming up to me, are you a professional comedian? Are you a professional entertainer? And I'm maybe, you know, mid-20s at this point. And no, I was not a professional entertainer whatsoever. So what happened is, I said to my girlfriend at the time, I said, you know what, Debbie, I think I want to do this. I want to be an entertainer. I want to be a comedian. I want to be on a microphone. And she says, and that was, so that was my turning point. Something happened that night. I said, I can do this. She says to me, and this is leading into greatest disappointments, where the love of my life says to me, I wouldn't want to be married to a comedian. So that was it. That was my, that was in one night, I had my turning point where I realized I want to be an entertainment. I want to be an entertainer. And greatest disappointments were the love of my life basically squashed my dream. And I knew that was the beginning of the end for us.
Well, she didn't, obviously she didn't prevent you from getting into entertainment, but did she slow you down?
No, but I knew I cannot be with this woman. I cannot be with her and pursue an entertainment career.
But you know what's funny, Sal, that's an inadvertent callback to what we opened the show with. I mean, if you were to tell a woman, I don't want you to have a career, you would be a controlling, manipulative male who's denying her her right to achieve her potential.
Yes.
But it's perfectly okay for her to tell you, like, you don't need dreams. Your dream is to work 50 hours a week as my husband. And
not to mention, when she said her dream was to be an architect and she started going to architect school, guess what I did? I bought her a drafting table. And I brought her art supplies for her to begin her career in architecture because that was what she wanted to do.
Sal, I wish I had it on hand. I wish I had the sound bite, but there's a fantastic line in Ray Romano's big special, his big, huge last comedy special, where he says, Carnegie Hall. Before he starts the show, that's the first thing he says, Carnegie Hall. You know what you do when you book a spot at Carnegie Hall? The first thing you do is you call every woman who's ever turned you down. Yeah, so fuck that bitch, wherever she is.
So that was my turning point leading to my greatest disappointment. Chris, what is your greatest disappointment?
Yeah, it happened a good 10 years ago, Sal. I used to perform in Lakeland, Florida. It's about an hour outside of Orlando. Terrible comedy gig. I paid $50 a show. So every 6 months or so, I'd rebook and I'd perform there. And there was this real cute MILF behind the bar. I probably hadn't even heard the word MILF back then, but I knew she was one. She had a great little body, like a little fit, tight gymnast type body, right? Redhead, maybe early 40s, right? So I'd always kind of, you know, throw a compliment or something her way, and she kind of divulged the fact that she was married. But it wasn't one of these things where she was like, you know, I beg your pardon, I'm married. That kind of talk is inappropriate. It wasn't that. It was just like, nah, you know, my husband, blah, 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 came up, you know. So I got to know her a little bit, and I'd always, you know, say hello, and I'd talk to her when I was there, and I'd always throw a compliment her way. It was harmless flirtation. 2 years after the first time I'd ever play there, I walk in there one day, and I sit down at the bar, and I go, hey, how you doing? And literally the first thing she says to me, Sal, she leans in, and she goes, I just got divorced from my husband on Tuesday. This is a Friday. I've moved out. I live right down the street. What are you doing after the show?
Bam, bam, bam.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was on, right? Wrong. My long-term relationship girlfriend was there with me. So it just so happened she had the weekend off from work. She came to the show with me. She was
this the Canadian girl?
The Canadian girl. That's correct. She was running a few minutes behind, so she was still in the hotel room. And I had to say to this bartender, I would like nothing more. However, my girlfriend is not only here, she will physically be in the showroom within minutes. And I said, please write your number down as quickly as you can. And she did. But here's the thing, though. I missed the window, Sal. Little did I know. I guess, you know, having two kids to look after and having a life to live, I called her a couple times after that, and she was always just too busy. I'm picking the kids up. I'm dropping the kids off. You know, I was perfectly willing to make the hour drive at her leisure to make this happen, but I missed my window. So my word to you, my advice to you young men out there is strike while the iron's hot. You may not get a second chance.
So in other words, you should have just ditched your girlfriend that night, told her you felt ill, taken her back home, and then immediately gone back to the club.
Something like that. Anything along those lines. But
all right. Well, on that high note, Chris, why don't we go ahead and welcome our guest. Our special guest today has studied with the world-renowned balloon artist, taken his balloon art to new levels, not to mention has educated himself under some of the living legends of magic, manipulation. I wonder if that means like dating. Manipulation and stagecraft. He continues to collect magical knowledge and the art of entertaining to provide an amazingly comical and entertaining atmosphere. He's performed at comedy clubs, corporate events, movie premieres, world-famous Magic Castle. He's also entertained for royalty and for private parties such as Babyface Gwen Stefani and Michelle Obama. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to Registered Ear Offenders, Wacko.
Oh, that was perfect.
Like, wasn't that great? Waka waka.
Waka waka.
You haven't even seen my show yet, but that's one of the magic words. Waka waka.
Welcome to our show, Wacko. You look great. You wear orange. Orange is your signature color, I understand.
It is. I'm really big in marketing stuff, especially, and I teach a couple of classes on that, and it's all about branding. Like, when people see orange, anything orange, they instantly think of me. Like, if they see a car, they take a picture of it and they'll post it and tag me in it. Kind of thing.
I'm going to do the same thing now. You've ruined me.
So
you
have the orange shirt on. Every time you see that orange shirt, you are messy. Yeah.
I happen to be wearing an orange shirt today.
Yes.
I never wear an orange shirt, but today, you know what? You magically manipulated me into wearing an orange shirt today.
That's what we do.
So what's been going on? Tell us where you're from and how long you've been doing magic and interesting magic and comedy.
Yeah, it was funny because at first I started off doing silent acts basically as a clown because I grew up in Watts. And it's really funny because I actually performed for like the Bloods, the Bishops, the Crips, Mordentown, Florencia, all the gangs in like the Watts and South Central area.
Did you used to wear, before orange, did you wear red or blue?
You know, I can't remember what I wore.
We like you, fool, but you gotta change your colors.
I think it was neutral. I think it was gray. I think that's why I was trying to be on the safe side. So I probably wore gray with the bandana and stuff.
Can I ask, who booked you to perform for the Bishops? It's like hey guys,
check this out.
Before you kill me, just give me 5 minutes to win you over with this these two rings here.
See, it was funny because a lot of the cholos, they actually would not let me leave. But I was very talkative, always doing crazy things and stuff. I was known for being whack when I was younger. So a lot of the gangs, they would invite me to parties and stuff. Like the Bishops, for instance, the guy that was the leader of the Bishops, I won't mention his name and stuff, but he lived a few blocks away from me.
Is that Five Deuce Pueblos?
What's that?
Five Deuce Pueblos Bishop? That's the Blood
I'm
gang.
Talking about the Bloods, yes.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you know all about that.
I used to know.
Yeah, okay, so I won't say names and stuff like that because I don't want to be associated with too many things, but yeah, I got to be careful on that. But he used to actually hire me for the kid shows and stuff, and one time I was actually being robbed, and one of the guys, I recognized him at the party, and I was like, hey, during the middle of this robbing, I say, hey, how's so-and-so doing? And he looks at me like, what? And I was like, yeah, I do. I'm the clown that does the kid shows. And instantly he was like, I'm so sorry, dude. You know, I don't know.
Give him his wallet back, like fool.
But
give
he let wallet. Me go. He let me
wait,
go.
No, wait. Is this a black guy blood or is this a cholo?
This is a black guy.
Okay, Chris, do your black guy gangbanger voice.
Oh, no. Run it. Run it. Give me your wallet. Give me your wallet. The gat is turned to the side.
You can never play a black man, ever.
Here, I got a funny story for you guys. This is actually true. It turns out, I thought my dad was in the car the entire time. I was 15 years old. I was in Compton. I was also performing for, it was a black family, and they were very, very ghetto-ish. And anyway, I didn't realize what a crackhead was until this moment. What happened was I did this one trick where these two scarves, I tie them together, put them in the girl's shirt, and when I pull them, a bra pops out in between them. Obviously, it's tied inside, and it's a little pocket and stuff. Well, this girl like, give back my motherfucking bra. Give back my bra. And she's saying this at me. First, I thought she was kidding. Then I realized she's very, very, very serious that she wants her bra back.
But she actually thought it was her bra. Of course,
she thought it was her bra. She really believed it was her bra, and she wanted it back. I had to stop in the middle of the show. I'm 15 years old doing a kid's show in Compton. My dad's in the back watching this whole entire thing, and I had to explain it to everyone exactly how the trick worked, how it was sewn in. There's no possible way it could have possibly, you know, it could be her bra. At this moment, she pops out her titties and starts showing everyone, he took my motherfucking bra. She's showing, flashing everyone.
Wait, how old is this girl?
She's a woman.
Okay, so she's a black woman.
Black crackhead woman.
A black crackhead woman showing her tits, okay?
A clown that's 15 in front of these kids.
At a kid's party.
And my dad's back there and stuff. He helps me take away my stuff because they're like, you gotta go. So I leave. The guy pays me only like 25% of what it was, even though I did like half the show. And she comes out darting again, trying to get my stuff, pulling stuff away from me, trying to get her bra back. And I remember when we got into the car, the first thing out of my dad was, he says, she had some nasty titties. That's the first thing out. It was funny. Oh, there's tons of stories like that.
Was your dad a magician? Did he get you into magic?
No, I actually started out going to libraries and I started reading all the magic books. I started when I was 9, but I kind of sucked until I was about 15. I started, you know, really practicing. And I still remember the first time I heard an adult go, do that again. And now I realized, oh my God, I actually fooled this person.
Yeah, Sal, have I ever told you about this? I used to have a friend, Jeff Steele. You ever met him? I think he goes by Jeff Bornstein.
Yes.
Yeah, he
used to do... The Bornstein experiment.
Yeah, walk around, which is a really cool thing if you get a chance to see it. He does like a, what do they call that?
Mentalism. He has a hot wife with earrings.
Yeah. Is his wife a white woman or a black woman?
She's a white woman, but a real like kind of like Orange County looking MILF. She's not, but that's what she looks like.
Yeah, yeah.
She's a sweetheart too. But anyway, that aside, he used to do walk around magic at a restaurant where I worked out many years ago, and I had to watch this dude for 1 year, several times a week before I figured out how he did one of his tricks. And I won't reveal it because I would spoil the fun. But
we'll talk after.
From watching the same trick over and over again, I realized that this guy was as well rehearsed in what he did as any Wild West outlaw drawing a gun. That's how fast his hands moved. So impressive stuff. Hey, Wacko, I do want to ask you, because as a comedian, we get a lot of the same questions. No matter who you are, you get certain things that come up. You get the guy trying to, tell you racist jokes to add to your act, even though there's no racist jokes in your act. You get people, asking all kinds of crazy questions. I imagine you must get the guy who's way too intense in demanding how you did a certain trick, demanding that you explain it.
When I was younger, yes, it was the cholos in the area. They would not let me leave sometimes. I had to go do another show, and they would keep me around, hey, fool, show me that trick again. Hey, show my homeboy and stuff. And it was just constantly stuck there. But thinking about questions that people ask me, they always ask me, like, hey, can you vanish my wife or can you vanish my husband? One time I heard, I had my head down. I was finishing up a show. I was putting all my stuff away. This is our kid show. And the guy comes up, hey, can you make my wife disappear? And I always respond, I charge by the pound.
Ah.
And when I looked up, I was like, oh, God.
Oh, no.
He was huge. And he responds, I don't have that kind of money.
So let me ask you that then. On that note, so you were a young magician. How did you decide to integrate comedy into it?
Not until later on. My dad, he saw a show in Vegas, and he saw this magician that did comedy, and he was like, you should do that. And I was like, I don't speak in my shows. It's all silent. But little by little, I started adding things. Before you know it, I just started adding my personality. I'm actually a pervert by nature, and I used to make a lot of my friends laugh when I was like 14, saying all these perverted things. And once I started incorporating the perverted nature into the magic, it started becoming funny. Like the first thing I do is I stand up on stage, bring a girl up, and I'm like, hey, can you do me a favor, can you? And I'm reaching into my pockets at the same time with both hands, like, can you do me a favor, can you examine my balls? And I pull them out, and I hand her two orange balls, and I go, oh, wait a second, there's a little bit of lint. Oh, wait, that's hair. And I flick it off, and that's how it starts off.
When did you make the transition into speaking? Because I got to say, and I don't claim to be an expert on magic, but it does seem like an entirely silent act would come off as somewhat old-timey.
Yeah. I did it maybe around when I was like 17 or 18, because for the first few years, it was just completely silent. Then I started incorporating some words because I was starting to lose the kids. They weren't paying attention. Like, I really didn't know what I was doing because I had no training whatsoever. So a lot of the experience that I have, I made a shitload of mistakes before I actually figured out what works and what doesn't. So now I actually a lot of magicians and clowns and stuff, they come over to my house, we jam, and I give them tons of advice of what to do and what not to do. And I like sharing that information because, one thing is when a magician performs and they do a bad effect or something happens where people just don't like them, it ruins it for all the other magicians. So I want to make sure that everyone's doing their best. And I always tell them, practice the effect at least 1,000 times before you show anyone. I always say, I know it sounds crazy, but there's a lot of magicians that do that. Sometimes they'll practice an entire year to perfect an effect before they show anyone, because you don't want to give it away, especially if it's a really awesome effect where you created it yourself.
Now, I imagine you must have something resembling like a martial artist dojo where you maybe have a mirror and a table. Where is that for you, and describe it for us?
Me, it's actually, which is funny, is I actually practice a lot. If I'm doing sleight of hand, it's in the movie theater. I just sit there and do that. I shouldn't be doing this, but I also do it when I'm driving.
Yeah, but my question is, if you're trying to perfect an act, I would think that you need to see it from the perspective of an audience member.
Before, what I used to do was I used to have a mirror and I used to record myself all the time. Now I've gotten to a certain point where I have to do it in front of either my wife or my sister. My sister knows every effect I do, and magic doesn't impress her anymore, because as soon as she sees something, she'll go, I saw it, and then she'll walk away.
So let me ask you, what do you think of that Magician's Secrets Revealed show where the guy with the mask would give away the secrets?
Yeah, the original guy was Richard Valentino, and he was a Vegas magician. Not really big, not really well known, but he knew some stuff. And then later on, he's the first guy. Then they actually hired on some just regular actors and showed them regular magic. And it really sucked was because I actually, during the time the second show came out, a lot of the magicians were coming into the magic shop because I used to work at the Hollywood Magic Shop on Mondays, only Mondays because that's the only time I had. But they would come in and they were freaking out because the kids knew how the effects works. A lot of the effects that they exposed were effects that they were coming in buying as a beginner magician, trying to do it in kid shows like the Rising Deck and stuff like that, which is like a $25 trick.
I heard the guy had death threats.
Yeah, a lot, because think about it. Yeah, there's magicians all over the country that need to do this stuff.
He is depriving of their livelihood. What a shitty thing to do. What a shitty way to make your money.
So you, Chris, as a non-magician, believe that was a shitty thing to do? Because I, as a non-magician, I like watching magic, but sitting at home watching how these tricks were done, I thought that was interesting. It didn't change my opinion of magic, but I thought it was interesting the way these tricks worked.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're basically, it's one thing, like if you're, let's say, the Rolling Stones, they write an autobiography about their exploits. That's them. That's on them. That's entirely theirs. But to do something that affects other people is a very selfish, shitty thing to do.
So did you, as a magician, hate that show?
I did hate that show at first, and then I realized after time a lot of people actually forgot how the effects work.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? I watched the show a few times, especially there's a lot of YouTube clips of it, and I completely forgot.
I do remember one. There's only one that I remember, and that was where they had kind of like a wall that would flip to become a mirror. So they would make it, you would see things and it would appear that this thing was there when in fact you were just looking at the reflection of said thing,
Let me ask this question, Wacko. I had the privilege a couple of years to work in a haunted house at Halloween, and I would scare the people as it came through. The black people were the best people to scare. I loved scaring black people.
They're overactors. I love performing for them.
Yeah, so what's it like performing as a magician for various ethnicities in the audience?
I won't go into certain ethnicities because a lot of people really like me and stuff. But the most fun to perform for are the blacks because they start yelling and screaming. It's especially when you do something crazy. Like I have this effect where I start floating a table and I hear a lot of cursing in the audience. As soon as I start doing that, most are like, what the fuck? Oh, shit. And stuff like that. It's awesome. I love doing that effect in front of them.
Yeah. Sal, I got to tell you, it's a hilarious trick. It's fact. I was standing right in front of him. I don't even have a hypothesis on how he does it. I mean, he's literally floating the table. His fingertips are barely touching the cloth that's attached to the table. And this table, and I don't mean it's floating an inch off the ground. It's floating at eye level, which for him is like 5'3".
That's why I said we could be brothers. Chris told me he saw this table trick and did not know how it was done.
Still don't.
Like at one point, I actually let go of the table and grab the box that's on top and hand it to the kid. And now what I do is a lot of magicians are afraid to do this effect. It's a very expensive table too. So they're afraid to do this at kid shows. And I love doing it at kid shows. And I have to trust them. I have to watch the kids and make sure they don't smack the table out of my hand. But I actually will float it over their heads. And there's a really good picture that was just posted on Facebook that one of my friends, Don Hefty, posted. And I just love that one because I think I'm the first magician actually floated above the kids' heads.
Whoa.
Or actually anyone's heads. So it adds to the effect.
Are you a member of the Magic Castle?
I am a member of the Magic Castle.
Yeah, maybe you can help.
There
maybe
once
you
in a while.
Can help our station manager, Jeremy Hansen. He would like to visit the Magic Castle.
Yeah, I always wanted to go.
Oh, yeah, me too. And I've never gotten around
stuff. We should all go.
I'd love that. I knew another magician, Dave. Christ, I can't remember his name, but he taught improv at a school that I studied at for a while. Just a hilarious improviser, and he was apparently a tremendously successful magician too. And every time that he emailed an invitation to us, it just so happened that I was doing my military tours. Every single time, like three times in a row over the course of like a year and a half. But never been there.
Just let me know. We just walk right in. It's completely free. You don't have to make any reservations when you're my personal guest.
Now, because we broadcast all over the world, explain briefly what the Magic Castle is. I know they have the two different showrooms, right? The Parlor of Prestidigitation.
Yeah, there's actually a few more showrooms now. There's three main ones throughout the week. There's several different magicians that perform weekly, and they switch them off. So there's the close-up room. They got two different magicians, the early magician and the late magician. And then they have the stage show, then the parlor. And now they have a couple other areas because like a Saturday and Sunday, it packs out like crazy. So they need other magicians to come in and kind of work the crowd and the audience and stuff because you don't have time to watch all the shows.
Now, Wacko, when I was a kid, my mother bought me a little magician set. I'm maybe 10 years old. She buys me the magician set, and I was learning little rope tricks and stuff. And I just found that I didn't have a knack for it. I wasn't good at it. Do you think magic is like stand-up comedy, where Chris and I as comedians don't believe you could actually teach a non-funny person to be funny? Are there some people that just have a knack for magic and some people that do not have a knack? Is there an innate skill involved?
There's always, I've noticed with magic, depending on the personality, there's different types of magic that you can go into, like stage, parlor, close-up, mentalism, and all kinds of other areas, like comedy magic and stuff. You have to have the personality for that. But I've seen just normal, I've taught different types of people. And I noticed that once you find out your personality of what you can do, if you're very quiet, you can be the mysterious one, not speak as much and just kind of focus on the effects. Like, say, for instance, like David Blaine, if you see his stuff, he doesn't speak too much. He just kind of does the trick.
And he dresses like a schlub.
Yeah. Maybe, yeah, that's a funny thing. Some people know that they're not good speakers. In professional wrestling, a lot of times, if these guys aren't good speakers, they take on a character that, you know what I mean? Like Goldberg. Remember Goldberg?
Yes. Yeah.
Just, that's all he would do is literally growl.
Yeah. I did meet David Blaine at the gym, and he was quite pleasant, though, when I met him. But as a kid, when I would watch David Copperfield, sitting at home
my
watching.
My favorite.
Yeah, you know what? But I would say to myself, I could do what he does. I mean, that's why I really love the sleight of hand. I mean, when I see people do the sleight of hand, the close-up stuff, I think to myself, I can't do that. But when I see, I imagined it was just all smoke and mirrors, like making the Statue of Liberty disappear and all that.
There's so much work and detail that goes into it. Like, he's considered a perfectionist, and a lot of people that work for him, they have to be the best of the best. Like, he actually has a lot of magicians that perform, that work on stage, and it's funny because a really good magician that has amazing technical skill, you will never realize how much work they're doing up on stage. There's one effect that I have, this large ball thing. I won't go into it, but it's about this big, and it looks impossible to hide in your hand. I showed this kid that I was teaching magic to. I said, watch to see when you can see this in the show. It's during my silk trick. After the show, he didn't realize I used that ball to change the colors of the silks. You never realize the technical skill. So I showed him again using it, and it's you know, if you actually have to see it, it's kind of hard. I know it's kind of visual kind of thing, but there's a lot of crazy work that you would never ever see. And that's a good thing if you never see it.
Wacko, you must have like any good comic, like any good stage performer, you must have a horror story. What's the worst thing? What's the worst that things have ever gone wrong at a performance?
It was at the Del Rio Lanes over in Downey, and my sister happened to be there, and my aunt was there, and a couple other family members, and there was this girl that I brought up on stage. She was sitting in the front row, and the reason I brought her up, because I usually bring a person up to help me examine certain effects and stuff, she's sitting there in the front row, and I look down, I completely forget what I was doing, because she had her tit all the way out, and she was licking it.
What?
This is in a show.
Chris perked up.
I just quit comedy for magic.
And I look over like, what the hell? And I introduced myself.
These were not crackhead tits.
No, these were really nice. These were
desirable.
Very expensive ones. And so I bring her up because I just had to bring her up. And since my show's kind of perverted, I was like, yeah, we're going to have fun with this one. And it turns out she was a stripper, and she wanted to show me her tattoo. That was another thing that she wanted to show me after I was doing some tricks with her. And we were like, no. I was like, first, where's the tattoo? And she was like, it's next to my vagina. And she really wanted me to show her the cherries. So she drops her pants. She has no underwear on. And everyone pulls out their camera, starts taking pictures. And my aunt jumps up and is like, we don't want to see that shit, you slut.
And shut up, man.
Oh, my God. I waited a little bit for everyone to take more pictures, and I jumped in front of her, told her to pull her pants back up. At this moment, the guy...
Was she shaved or unshaved?
She was shaved.
Oh.
So you can see the cherry and everything like that next to it. You know, kind of weird taco meat there. But yeah, anyway, so her boyfriend jumps up and says, want to see my mangina? And he drops his pants and he starts flinging it around.
His mangina.
His mangina.
What guy refers to his dick as mangina?
What a goddamn weirdo.
Wacko, you know what? I want to have Wacko come back in a few minutes and do a trick. So you're going to scoot over to that chair and do a trick for Chris. But for now, before we move on to additional segments,
vanishing penis.
Tell our audience where they can see you and where they can hear you.
Right now in Downey, the best thing to do, because I have tons of different shows coming up and stuff, the best thing to do is add me on Facebook. You can find me under The Wacko Show, or Or if you type in Wacko Medellin, I know his last name's hard to spell, M-E-D-E-L-L-I-N, but I'm pretty sure if you type in Wacko, I should be the only person that pops up. But I'm going to post everything on there. There's also going to be another show that's going to be coming up because I have the one show in Downey with Benny Mena. And then I have another show, which is funny because I don't speak Spanish. There's a show coming up on the 10th and on Ontario Improv at 9 p.m. That's going to be with Richard Villa. And it's an all Spanish show. So I'm going to be doing silent magic again.
Richard Villa, wait. Good friend of the show.
Good friend of the show, Richard Villa. Wait, Wacko, you don't speak Spanish and you're American-Mexican?
Yeah.
What a loser.
Shut up. Wait, what about you? Wait a second. Wait about you?
Well, we're moving on, folks. We're moving on. Thank you, Wacko, for joining us. Our pleasure to have you here. Chris, we're getting into our next segment, which is Chris's Corner.
Last Friday began like any other workday. I clocked in, raised the shutters, and waited for my first table to arise. My first table consisted of four females in their late teens to early 20s. Two white, one black, one Asian. Their sweatshirts reinforced my suspicion that they were UCLA students. In an effort to wow her with my worldliness, I asked the Asian girl if she understood the Chinese word for hello. She did not. I then inquired if she understood the Japanese equivalent. She nodded comprehension. Although it was never exceptionally warm to begin with, their collective disposition froze over immediately afterward. Lacking any other explanation, I asked the Asian gal if my innocuous query had somehow offended her. She mumbled something suggesting it had. At that point, the African-American spoke up, stating that although the group was not especially offended, the question was weird and, quote, some people would find it offensive. You can't just assume that every Asian speaks Chinese or Japanese. I didn't, I promptly corrected her. I simply asked if she understood a greeting in either language. Why didn't you ask me? She retorted. I could have taken a class. I was speechless. She seemed to be suggesting that if I polled 20 Asian and 20 non-Asian patrons, the non-Asian group would be just as likely to speak an Asian language as their counterparts. Certainly no one with an ounce of common sense could make such an asinine assertion. How could a student from a prestigious institute of higher learning be making it? Ostensibly, her gripe was that I had made a bigoted generalization akin to all Asians look alike. I did nothing of the sort. I drew a circumstantial conclusion based on observation. Thankfully, millions of people do the same thing every day. When a restaurant patron clutches their throat, bystanders assume they are choking and offer assistance. By her logic, I should not have assumed that anyone at the table spoke English when I first approached it, yet I did, and no one faulted me for doing so. My employer for the last 5 years, a high-end hotel in LA, frequently caters to large groups of ethnically and racially diverse groups. I pride myself on greeting guests in their native tongue. I announce cuisine by its culturally common name. Not once has a guest taken offense to this gesture. On the contrary, they are tickled pink that an outsider, an American no less, made the effort to familiarize himself with some facet of their culture. No, every time I found myself at odds with self-deputized officers from the Thought Police, as a columnist, a stand-up, or simply in conversation, they were always simple-minded Americans abiding by their interpretation of PC's nebulous, amorphous, and arbitrary canons. In most cases, he or she refused to acknowledge the accuracy or validity of my assertion. In all cases, they failed to concede that the U.S. Constitution still guarantees me the right to think, hear, say, read, or print any idea I choose to. Political correctness, which began as a well-intentioned effort to enlighten society, has become something akin to Christian fundamentalism's secular counterpart. That's Chris's Corner. Thanks for stopping by.
You know what about Asians, though, Chris? Not great haunted house patrons.
Why? Because they cover their mouth every time they have an emotion to verbalize?
You know what, though, is interesting is I like doing this when I sell an item on eBay, and you know how you do the feedback, you leave feedback for the seller and the buyer. I will go to Google Translate. I will put "thank you, great customer" into their maybe German or Arabic or something, and I will then post that in their native tongue from their country on, and people seem appreciative of that.
Yeah, it's only Americans, and it's only people that don't know. Like it's the people that don't speak their mother tongue that are more likely to be offended than those who do. Again, I mean, I tell you, man, especially when I work with Persians, I refer it like shrimp. Shrimp is megu. And they chuckle wildly. It's so weird for them to hear. Another joke I've often used is a stock joke. I wrote it, but I'll say, I'll walk up to some guy when I run his credit card and he's got 13 consonants in his name. And I'll go, what a coincidence. We have the same name. And they get to laugh every single time. I should have prefaced my Chris's Corner, though, Sal, by mentioning that I wrote it about 6-7 years ago. So there are some details in there that have not been amended for time. But I did think the piece was worth sharing. Anyway, we got to move on, Sal. We got Sal's weekly rant. Oh, by the way, you guys out there in listener land, you're listening to Extreme Talk XM 165 in collaboration with Skid Row Studios.
Yes, and to close that last bit, I will tell all of our listeners, Chris is not a racist. He will have sex with a woman of any race.
And I'll prove it. If you're a listener out there, if you're a female listener of any race, call 800-893-9562. We will arrange a meet.
All right, we're going to get into now Sal's weekly rant. I want to join the Big Brothers program. Not to become a big brother, but to get one. Sure, I have two older brothers, but I would like a big brother, the big brother I never had. I feel like I'm a big brother to my next oldest brother. He's quite troubled, alcohol being the least of my concerns. He did make efforts to hang out with me as a kid, which I appreciate, but it was often activities involving smoking weed or drinking beer on the corner. One time we ditched school together. This included hanging out on the side of the industrial park for several hours until he told me to go back home while he made his way to God knows where. He did spend time with me, but it was wasted time. I visited him last night. In his doped up state, he went on about the unemployment office, T-Mobile, and cat rescue agencies, all groups out to fuck him. I brought him a $50 AutoZone gift card. He didn't thank me. In my 15-minute visit, not once did he ask how I was doing or anything about my life. My oldest brother had to be coerced and bribed or downright threatened by my mother to drag me anywhere. He had an active, full life, sports, recreation. He played tennis. He went to the river with friends, learned to water ski. I only remember two occasions where he took me anywhere. Once to various empty swimming pools to skateboard with his buddies. Once on a day trip to the snow where he and his friends skied while my sister and I had snow fights and made snowmen. Again, our mom made him take me. When I was in high school, I was quite the fuck up. Truancies, missed classes, uncompleted assignments, you name it. My mother made my oldest brother give me a firm older brother talking to. I resented him and my mother for it. It was too little, too late. Where was he the last 10 years? I've realized I'm passive aggressive. I might not say or do anything now if you hurt me or anger me, but I promise you it'll come out later. My oldest brother does make efforts to see me and visit me and ask about my life, but I will often delay returning his calls and will often shy away from his visits. You didn't want to hang out with me when I was a kid. Now I don't want to hang out with you when you're an old man. I can't relive my youth, but apparently I've learned to keep the pain of my youth only to have it control my behavior later. I want a big brother. That's Sal's weekly rant.
Wow, Sal, I've known Sal, been good friends with Sal for about 7 years, and I got to tell you, it still amazes me when we find out that we have even more in common than we thought we had before.
Well, that's why I said pay attention to this weekly rant. Maybe you might relate to it.
I'm going to tell you this, Sal. I do relate to it, and I have too much to contribute, though. If I start in, it'll take us to the end of the show, and I don't want to do that. I'd rather jump into our next segment and see if Wacko cares to participate.
I do want, real quick, Wacko, can you go to that seat?
Oh, yes.
Can you do a trick for Chris? And I want to see his reaction.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
I'm going to take my headset off.
Chris, I want you to react. And you can pop on a headset on the other side. And Chris, I want you to react like a black person. That's what I'm looking for.
All right. This one's going to be a little different.
Man, magic's stupid.
That's terrible.
All right, motherfucker, you're going to pick a card. Now, here you go. Go ahead and select one out real quick.
All right.
Now, this is going to be different because I'm actually not going to have... it's okay if we see it. So go ahead and you can show it around. It's fine.
Okay.
Totally fine.
Okay,
place
we see
that
it.
Back right there. Just
can
like
I
that.
Announce what card it is?
You can go ahead and announce
Do
what
I look
first.
At the damn card?
Okay.
You can look at the damn card. There
is
you
it, is a 10 of spades. The card is a 10 of spades.
Place that right there. Now, look, we're going to push that out a little bit. Oops. Push that out right here. Now, we're going to keep track of that, okay? I'm going to place that right about, right there. Go ahead and push that all the way in. Push it all in.
Just like that. Did you see it jump to the mouth? Look at the mouth.
10 of spades is
now.
Ten of spades is now in Wacko's
mouth. Check it out. You can look at the entire deck.
Chris has walked out of the room. Chris has walked out of the room.
Oh, shit.
And there's no other ones in that deck. That's the only one it could have been in the ink card. There you go. There
dog,
you go.
You the devil.
That's a damn good card trick right there.
All right, that was Wacko doing a trick. Which
Wacko Medellin, everybody.
Wait, I got to show you something. I got to show you something inside of here.
Whoa.
Inside of here.
He's digging
it
his
is
pants.
It's not your card. It's not your card. Okay, that's not your card.
He just
No, wait. How many? Let me get the right one. There it is. There's the right card. There's the right card.
Just pulled 10 spades out of his penis.
There better be 10 spades. A 10-10 of spades in that deck for that to make sense.
Check it out.
I'm looking at the deck right now.
Regular deck.
It's a regular deck. There are not, in fact, 10 of spades. There's only one. Wacko, how much would you say per month you spend on decks of cards?
Oh, God. I actually went to Costco because they had a really good deal, and I bought 122 packs.
Jesus. How long is it going to take you to work through that?
I'm halfway through it right now because I do a card trick where I actually, during the show, I will make it appear in my crotch and in my mouth. I have the girl sign it and stuff so that they can verify that is the card. So I go through a lot of decks all the time. Sometimes there's another effect where I throw the cards up in the air and I have this little monkey. I toss him up at him and he actually reaches in the air and grabs one of the cards and it's the person's signed card. It's an awesome effect.
Nice. Wacko, ladies and gentlemen.
Wacko Medellin.
And Chris's impression of a stereotypical black man as well.
It's the most. That is, I would not be surprised, Al, if by the time we finish the show, which is about 10 minutes from now, the NAACP was rallying at the base of the... listen, we got time for just one more segment, Sal. Let's jump into it. I think the listeners are going to have a good time with it. I think Wacko will at least enjoy hearing it, if not
participating. Yeah, the name of our segment is The Trouble with Porn. Listen up.
That's it? That's the whole... Just... Okay.
Somebody order a pizza? All right. Thank you, Jeremy. That was
That's
our intro
funny,
music.
Sal. It's been so long since the first time we did this segment. I forgot that you had composed a nice little...
Yeah, composed meaning stolen from Google. That's what I mean.
All right,
what do we got for Trouble with Porn? This is where we talk about the problems we have with porn, damn it.
All right, two big problems, Sal. Two big problems. One, jump cuts. You don't see it so much in American porn, but occasionally, UJizz is my site of choice, UJizz.com.
Yes.
Yeah. endless free porn. I mean, hundreds of pages.
Good quality.
A lot of it high quality, a lot of it full-length movies. One of the things I don't like is jump cuts. And they do this a lot in European porn particularly, where you will see 1 second, they're clothed, they're making out. Boom, jump cut. The next second, they're naked. Boom, jump cut. They're already having sex. I like to see penetration, and never in my life have I met someone who doesn't like to see penetration. There's a moment that I like to see captured, and that's the look on a female's face when the man penetrates her. It's a moment.
Or a tranny. When it slowly goes in for the first time, that is the most... And that's the best part.
And I know how that feels, and obviously the whole reason I'm watching porn is to live vicariously through that actor. So why wouldn't I want to see that? So who the hell is cutting that moment out? But yeah, these abrupt jump cuts, man, they annoy me. Like sometimes they get it going, they get a little momentum. All right, they're finally, things are going good. The guy's built, well, jump cut, here we go again.
But Chris, you are relying on the free UJizz cut. Perhaps if you were to actually purchase porn in its form, 1 hour episode, you will see every clip
that you're
missing.
I'm telling you that's not the case, Sal, because on UJizz, in some cases, they have full length features.
It's
specifically... Usually it's European porn that does this. And that's how I know that it's not just my interpretation of it, because it's always the same. It has the same grainy look to it. Not granny. Sorry, grainy. Grainy look to it.
No, you said granny. You said granny.
Number two.
They did have that there also.
My number two gripe. Blowjob only porn.
Oh, yeah.
Now, look, here's the thing. I get that a blowjob does it for some guys, and I get that I'm the odd man out because blowjobs do very little for me. Like, it's probably number four on my list of things that I like.
You want to see variety, right? Not just one.
If I had to pick one, Chris, you could only do one thing with this girl, it wouldn't be to get a blowjob from her. There'd be a million other things ahead of it. Here's the thing. Who's ever watched a porno and gone, no, I don't want to see them have, no, I don't want to see that girl have sex. I just want to, no, I'm turning it off. If it goes to sex, I'm turning it off. Why on earth would they only make blowjob only porn? The blowjob is the appetizer before the entree,
but
not the whole meal.
But Chris, they make anal porn, and you love anal porn.
That's correct, but that's sex. And they do it to completion. They don't.
Like Bill Clinton now. Oral sex.
Sal, your definition of is. What is your definition of is? I don't know.
All right, we're going to hear from Wacko. But my issue with porn, I got two issues with porn. Now, Chris, you and I do diverge here. And that is the blowjobs, the gagging, the. You know what? That's not a blowjob. That is not a blowjob.
That's violence.
That's why Chris loves it. When they start crying and throwing up, I can't watch it for too long. After like 5 or 6 minutes, I have to turn it off.
He can only watch it till he orgasms. And then no more.
Yeah, there you go.
The eyeshadow is coming down.
It's not sexy at all.
No, I'm not into that. Also,
there's some very violent guys out there that love that shit.
Right?
I'm pointing somewhere.
my other issue is POV porn. So you got the POV porn, which is fine. So you have the guy holding the camera. So check this out, though. I saw this one scene. The guy is holding the camera. The woman's blowing him. He's fucking the woman. Everything's going great. He then handed her the camera, and she's now holding the camera, and he is eating her out. So now I am a woman being eaten out. No. That is not why I'm watching it.
I've seen something similar to that.
Hire a goddamn cameraman.
Hire you cheap motherfuckers. That is my issue. Gagging and the POV. If I'm going to watch a POV, men, keep the camera in your hand. Wacko,
Before we turn it over to Wacko here, I just want to remind listeners they're listening to Extreme Talk XM 165 in collaboration with SkidRowStudios.com. Wacko, go ahead and tell us what your pet peeve, your biggest gripe with porn is.
Ah, crap. You know what? There's not enough balloons in porn. That's what my gripe is. Have you heard about lunars? They're actually people that can almost get off with a hot girl popping a balloon by sitting on it. There are actual sites that you can go to. I almost had one for a little bit, and it was very strange. We actually had the girl come out. I dressed her up in like a balloon dress. She'd pop her way out of it, and then we'd throw a whole bunch of balloons at her, and then she would walk around stabbing the balloons, popping them, licking them, stuff like that. And there's a huge thing, especially in Europe. There's a thing for it that they're lunars that just love that kind of thing. I think I'm going to bring it back.
You know, once upon a time, once upon a time, the burlesque dancer would come on stage with the balloons and then pop
each balloon. Yes, they still do that. Actually, I work with, and it turns out I'm going to be doing Monday Night Tease also, I forget about that, on the 11th, February 11th, and it's actually going to be a burlesque show. And we've been incorporating a lot of balloons because the balloon community, there's a lot of professional balloon artists that are in this area. A lot of my friends and stuff, like Eddie Madrano and stuff like that, they are amazing balloon artists, and they're starting to incorporate that back with the girls. So you see some really sexy things now, not just with the balloons of popping and stuff, but there's very, very creative things that are going on. You got to come to one of the shows. Check it out.
You know, I would agree with Wacko. There is not enough balloons in porn. There is just not. And there's not enough orange either.
Yes, there's not enough orange.
There needs to be more orange balloons. So once again, Wacko, give us our website of where our listeners can check you out.
Oh, check me out. You can best thing to do is on Facebook because it's Wacko Madelin, WACKO. Madelin, check me out there. Or you can look me up under wackowacko.com and I'll pop right up. Now, it's funny because I do a lot of kids shows, family shows and stuff. But I think this is the year we're actually going to be moving away from that and going more into the adult side, especially with comedy and stuff. I really like doing that because you don't have to hold back. Because I started off doing kid shows. Everyone says I'm really good at it, but I think it's time for me to kind of move on and do something a little different.
Well, nice. Well, we look forward to seeing that. I also look forward to hearing you cuss on stage. And we also, Wacko does a great character, the Cholo Magician. So I look forward
you
to seeing
you. Check it out, fool.
I'm going to fucking okay, check it out,
voice.
Eh?
Yeah, I got to get in the voice.
That'll blow your mind. You told me.
Oye, pues, fuckers. Hey, you want to see some magic? I'm going to magic for you, fools.
This guy's got, comes out, I mean, in entirely, he's got a costume. He's got a mustache. You won't even recognize him. You've told me, in fact, that you have changed into this character.
Type in Cholo Magician. Yeah, it
and
pops
not
right
been
up.
Recognized. And,
yeah, in the same show.
How do you do the change up so quickly?
Turns out I made it a little bit faster where I can go in and out of it fast, where it's actually a quick change outfit where I can, the pieces, like the pants and everything, I can just rip them off so I can instantly on stage change into the other person. But I actually developed that first so I can come up, host half the show as me, then half the show as the Cholo Magician by putting it on over my clothing so I don't have to take my clothing or change it off. It just kind of fits right over it, snaps right up with buttons and also magnets.
Nice. Thank you for joining us, Wacko. Our pleasure to have you. Chris, where will you be? Where can people see Chris Z?
Wow, this is great. So I'm be performing at on Tuesday night, the Gas Lamp in Long Beach. It's a free show, full bar, free parking, no reason not to go. Long Beach, California. On Wednesday night, I'll be performing in Cerritos at a pizza place. So if you're there, check out the show.
If you're not getting pizza,
don't make it a point not to.
We want to thank our listeners. We want to thank Extreme XM 165. Be sure to listen to our show on Extreme XM 165. It is at 2 p.m. Pacific time, which would be 4 p.m. Central, which would be 5 p.m. Eastern every Sunday on Extreme XM 165. We would like to thank SkidRowStudios.com, Mr. Jeremy Hansen. Be sure to listen to our show if you're listening live right now. Stay tuned for the Devils in the Details Conspiracy Theory Show coming up next. And also, be sure to subscribe to our show on iTunes. Go to iTunes, look up Registered Ear Offenders, and find our show, subscribe, and download for free.
And we're still stumping for those Facebook likes, Al, right?
I don't even care anymore. I don't even care anymore.
Well, I do, because we got listeners out there. We got listeners in Argentina, Paraguay, and we need, you know, the proof is in the pudding, as they say.
Oh, you know who I want to say hello to? I want to say hello to Mr. Bob Post.
That's right, Bob Post. We don't know who this guy is. We don't know how he found out about us, but he liked us. His profile pic is right up on our site, and we appreciate that, Bob. Please, sometime, if you're listening during the live show, which is every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. on SkidRowStudios.com. Give us a call at 800-893-9562. Who do we got next week, Sal?
I have no idea who we have next week.
Well, join us again next week. We do it every Friday. Same bat place, same bat time, same bat website.